Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for listening. You're listening to News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have a wonderful hour, and I think it's honestly one of your favorite hours. We have Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning. How are you? Great music to start off
with. Yeah.
Get your toes tapping. It's just great.
That's right.
And good job.
I want to remind you, if you want to ask Mike a question, 437-1620, you can call or text.
Well, it's springtime, so we probably have so much going on.
Right.
And maybe some questions out there that we can attempt to answer for you. So give us a text or a call.
Absolutely.
Or what have you. We'd love to talk to you. We always seem to start the show, especially lately, talking about the weather.
And
let me tell you what a gorgeous stretch of days we're going to have here. Perfect springtime weather. We've always said on the Garden Line, Tammy, that plants and turf like to ease into spring. And that's what's happening. I mean, I walked out this morning. It was downright cold.
It was. I said, Alexa, what's the weather? And, you know, it's Florida. And it was it was 49 with a high of 78. I said, well, bipolar, as usual.
You know, I did the exact same thing. And I said, she's wrong.
She's wrong.
It's not in the 40s. It cannot be in the
40s. How is it 49?
But it was. And it was chilly. But that's okay. That's okay. It's not cold enough, obviously, to do any kind of damage or have any ill effects on our gardening, but it's just good for our plants before we jump into 90 degrees plus during the day
true.
And mid-70s at night. So this is good.
Yes.
This is really, really good. So just to start off, I'm just going to make just a few observations of some plants in my neighborhood. I try to do a little walking around the neighborhood. And first of all, last week, we talked about the Masters Golf Tournament, and we're not going to go back to that again. We'll do that next year. But
if anyone knows why the trees fell, let us know.
Hole number five is magnolia.
Okay.
And if you travel around town, our magnolias are just spectacular. And especially as many times during the week, I go down Scenic Highway from where I live to go downtown and what have you. And right on the right-of-way by Bayview Cemetery, I think they must have 20 to 25 large magnolia trees.
Oh, wow.
They're all blooming right now at the same time, and it really is a great sight. And as you drive around, you see other magnolias that are in full bloom, and it's just really a pretty tree.
Oh, cool.
We've talked about magnolias a lot on the show insofar as, one, they are desirable because they keep their leaves and they have these pretty blooms in the spring. However, they drop leaves, it seems like, all year long.
Really?
And so from a maintenance standpoint, they take a little bit of work. But also, grass doesn't seem to want to grow underneath them, because if you have them kind of grow low without trimming up the limbs, you're going to have, obviously, no grass. So you might as well landscape underneath those magnolias versus trying to grow any kind of grass, even St. Augustine. So I wouldn't try that. Now, what you're going to say, somebody's going to say, now, Mike, you don't know what you're talking about, which they say that a lot. Mike, you don't know what you're talking about. There's magnolias in my neighborhood, and there's beautiful grass that's growing underneath them. Well, what happens, and this goes with oak trees also, is that the trees and the grass have kind of grown up together. Mm-hmm. In other words, the tree has grown up and the grass has sort of naturalized itself and gotten used to that shade very, very gradually as the tree grew. But if you've got a huge magnolia tree and mm-hmm. you try to sod up to the trunk, it's not going to work. So that's magnolias. Now, the magnolias we're looking at are technically Magnolias grandiflora. That's a good southern magnolia.
It sounds amazing.
But there's another one called Little Jim. Little Jim, you know, I've been doing this so many years, I always say this is new. It's probably 20 years old. It's a magnolia that's been developed that has more of a tall-growing mm-hmm. Characteristic to it versus the wide limbs. So it's more narrow. It can go into different spots. It doesn't have that huge drip line where no grass will grow. So if you want a magnolia, you might want to look at the Little Jim magnolia versus the Magnolia grandiflora. Anyway, it's a great traditional tree for our landscapes here in Pensacola, and you might want to look into it. But if you're driving down Scenic Highway, as you pass Bayview Cemetery, take a look at all those magnolias.
Have to go over there and check it out.
Really are kind of pretty.
Exactly. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of right across from where the decking is that goes down to the bay. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So anyway, take a look at that. Another plant that I am so pleased insofar as I have a couple of agapanthus. Mm-hmm. And you know what an agapanthus is?
I'd have no clue.
Agapanthus is a lily of the Nile. And I'll tell you, after the 19 degrees we had, I didn't give them much hope. I just said, they're not going to come back. And they're kind of a soft tissue plant. So I cut mine back probably a little early and said, I'll just give it a try. Because I have had enough of them. I didn't want to lose them, but I said, they probably are not going to come back. But let me tell you, they not only came back with beautiful foliage, mm-hmm. which a lot of people plant them for, but all of a sudden, here come the big stalks with blooms. Tammy, they grow with a big, long stalk with a blue bloom on the top
of it.
Is it
beautiful? It sounds beautiful.
Oh, they are beautiful. Yes. They really are. And it's a true perennial. And coming back after that 19 degrees really proves that point, that they will come back year after year after year. And I enjoy mine for the foliage. It's kind of a strap leaf foliage that looks good. But, you know, for the next, month or so, we'll get these beautiful blooms. You'll see them all over town because they are striking, and they stop traffic sometime with people who have planted a bunch of them.
Wow. We had a friend text in, my grass is full of weeds. Last month I used weed killer, not weed and feed, and I don't see where it has helped. Is there anything I can do besides digging up my yard and buying new sod?
Don't do that. Not yet.
That's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. We're going to try in just a little bit to go through some weed killing.
Okay.
Things that people can do insofar as the weeds are concerned. But the short version is, you can use your weed killers now. These temperatures we're having, the low temperatures at night, the medium temperatures during the day, is the perfect time. But keep in mind, your weed killers are basically broadleaf weed killers. If your weeds are crabgrass or sedges, you need to go a different direction. This is for your dollarweed, Virginia buttonweed, Florida pusley, those type of weeds. And you can use it right now. Trimec, carfenazone, Ortho makes some old weed begone, but and this is a sermon we preach all the time on the Garden Lime, Tammy, is that you've got to find the one that matches your yard.
Okay.
If you've got St. Augustine grass, you need to look on that label, and you've got to read the fine print to be sure it says this can be used on St. Augustine. Some of the weed killers will say this is a great weed killer for centipede, but it will yellow out your St. Augustine. So don't use that one. Just do a little research. Also, do your arithmetic. Figure out how many square feet you have, how much of the weed killer you put out per 1,000 square feet, say, and be sure you mix it up correctly. I like to use a pump-up sprayer. That way you can isolate where you need to spray, and you don't end up spraying your weed killer on grass that really is not weed-infested. Mm-hmm. So, yes, this is a good time to do it. Now, insofar as plowing up the yard, keep in mind, some of these weeds are winter weeds. Annual bluegrass, for example, Florida betony, some of those. The heat is going to take care of those. Don't worry about those. But your regular broadleaf weeds, dollarweed, for example, that we deal with all the time, it's a good time to spray for those. But, and we're going to go over this in a little bit, there's some cultural things you need to do insofar as mowing and watering and all that. We'll get into all of that.
Yes.
But don't dig it up. Don't give up hope. Go ahead and spray. And we'll go some of the things that we can use in just a few minutes.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. We're going to take a quick break. If you have a question for Mike, you want to get in, we will get to some questions that were sent. So don't miss out. The phone number is 437-1620.
Fire.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. We have Mike Wiggins with us with the Garden Line. If you would like to join in this conversation, it's 437-1620. Mike, we had a friend ask, do magnolia trees bring in extra insects?
I have never seen that. I have never understood that to be the case. Could be. It could easily be. I wonder what kind of insects, lawn insects or flying insects? I don't know. If our texters listening, let us know what.
Yeah, let us know what insects.
What you're seeing. That's interesting.
And our friend Paula said, you know, she welcomes me and she's going to miss Jenna. And pantyhose or e-birds without, she'll never think of that again without laughing. So thank you, Paula.
We're not going to go there.
And we were looking up some pictures that you sent, Paula, for us to tell what flowers.
Right. And there are two pictures. One, the first one. Looks to me like, and it's hard to tell on the computer, a century plant, which is, of course, a plant that you find all over the place. And after so many years, it'll send up that stalk right out of the middle of it. Now, urban legend will say that after it sends up that stalk, the plant dies. I'm not sure that's always the case, but it is a plant that is a full sun, bulletproof, a good beach plant. It really is. The other one, of course, is a deciduous plant. It's a plumeria, which is a pretty bloom. She said plumeria is one that's not used too much. One thing you got to be careful about plumeria is it's toxic. It's very toxic. Oh. So if you've got pets and little children, you might want to rethink planting a plumeria in your yard. But you can, and they are really pretty bloomers.
Okay.
Might be worth a try. Just be careful.
And then Mike in Gulf Breeze, live oak shoots all around my pool. What is the best way to control this? Tough to string trim.
That's a great question because there really is no solid answer for that. Those oak tree shoots, just keep cutting them down. Just keep cutting them down. There are probably too many of them to think about getting on your hands and knees and digging them up.
Yeah.
But a lot of people will get them like in a monkey grass bed, and you just got to keep them pruned down, and hopefully that long term you'll have some control. But that's a tough one. That is a tough one. And the oak trees, while we're talking about the oak trees, the leaves are still falling. It's just absolutely amazing. Every year I say it and my neighbors say it, it's the worst year we've ever had insofar as the weed leaves falling off
really?
The oak tree.
I didn't know that.
But I don't know if it really is. But let me tell you what, it is just amazing. And I feel bad because I've got this large oak tree in my front yard, and I love it. It's really a pretty tree. But, boy, it just drops those leaves. It fills up the gutter. And, of course, you get rain, it'll wash all of them to my neighbors, and I apologize to them all the time. I say, I know they're my leaves. So I even go over and kind of rake some of them out of my friend's gutters.
Oh, that's sometime. Sweet of you.
well, I stay in good graces with them. They're good people.
That's right.
So, but anyway, the leaves coming off the oak trees are just amazing. And here's one reason, and this, once again, I don't know the total validity of this, but some of the experts will say, Tammy, that if you have a lot of oak tree leaves falling, especially live oaks, which has a cupped leaf to it, that cupped leaf falls in your lawn, it rains, or you water the yard, either one, the leaf fills with water, which will promote mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going to make the decision to just let the leaves go, I would recommend, one, you rake them, and number two, you need to get them off the lawn. Because if you get as many as I've got, and I think most other people do too, you just need to get that, because it'll almost cover your grass. Rake them up as best you can.
And we already have such a bad mosquito problem as it is.
Oh, we do.
We don't need any help.
We don't need any help. You just don't need, you know, we all work in our landscaping to watch out for standing water, which, of course, is the worst thing one can have insofar as mosquito control is concerned. But those oak leaves holding that water, to me, it makes sense. So rake them up. You don't have to do it every day, but maybe once a week or so, try to get them out of there.
Right. And we had a friend ask, seeking recommendations for screening trees, looking at Leyland cypress versus Carolina sapphire versus Thuja big green, planting in clay rocky ground in Alabama.
Oh, really?
And what soil mixture to plant them in?
Well, if you're looking for screening trees, you've got to ask yourself, do you want a deciduous tree, one that loses its leaves, or do you want one that does not? Now, if you want one that does not, in my opinion, some of the hollies are really a good way to do it. That cypress is a good choice. There's no question about it. Matter of fact, that was one of the holes at the Masters. The cypress. It's a good screening tree. Well, some of the cypress that you may want to look at, if you're in Pensacola, is along Roger Scott tennis courts. They've got those cypress that line the tennis courts.
Yeah, they do.
Just to kind of separate the tennis courts from the cars passing by. And they have grown really, really well over the years. If you're going to do a non-deciduous tree, one that doesn't lose its leaves, the hollies are great. Some of the tall-growing Apopka hollies, for example, is a great holly. Relatively fast-growing. Not as fast-growing as your deciduous trees. But red maple, that loses its leaves, not a bad choice. River birch, not a bad choice for one that loses its leaves. Just keep in mind, it's not a screening tree in the winter. Okay. It's simply bare. So anyway, yeah. That's
great.
A couple of suggestions.
And I want to let you know that if you missed any information, this is going to be on our podcast over at News Radio 92.3. Also, if you'd like to join in the conversation, ask Mike a question about gardening. He is so smart. He's been landscaping for 40 years, I believe. A long time. Awesome. So he has the answers. 437-1620. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins for the Garden Line. We have a question from a friend, Mike. What's fast-growing evergreen 20-foot plus?
Well, that's a good question. And just like we were talking to our nice Texan from Alabama a minute ago, two general categories, quickly, is your holly family, the Apopka holly, a Marinelle holly. They're all kind of hollies that will grow 20-foot plus.
Okay.
They're not that fast, but that's what you could do. The cypress, like we talked about, is always another good one. There's some junipers that are good, like a Torolusa juniper. It's not real wide, but it will grow to the sky. It's really pretty. An Italian cypress also is kind of skinny, but it will go at least 20 feet. And people use a lot of those plants, Tammy, to anchor the corners of their house.
Oh, okay.
Just to kind of give it some height.
Right.
And then plant some lower plants around it.
So
exactly.
Nice.
And a lot of the landscapers will say that should be your first decision.
Really?
Your first decision. What are you going to plant? Because you want to soften the front of your house. Mm-hmm. You don't want it just to line up a bunch of azaleas and that's it.
That's what I would do.
Well, we're not going to let you do that.
No, thanks.
No, we will not let you do that. But, I think the cypress, like some of the ones I mentioned, I like the hollies. I think that gives just a beautiful evergreen look, nice glossy green leaves. And I think that's a good choice.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah, hollies are beautiful. Absolutely. If you need more information or you missed the answer to a question, we're going to post this podcast on News Radio 92.3. So after the break, after the show, I'm going to upload that. You can head on over there. If you'd like to join in this conversation, 437-1620. We're going to take a quick news break, Fox News update, followed by a local news update in the newsroom at News Radio 92.3. We'll be back with Mike Wiggins with more of The Garden Line. Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I have the wonderful Mike Wiggins with us with The Garden Line. He has all your answers for all things garden. We have had so many people texting in. I love it.
And I hope they all realize how much we appreciate
it. We really do. I love
it
when you text us.
We really appreciate your questions. And, sometimes we, have to dance around some of them because we're not totally sure of the answer. But we'll try to give you as much facts as we can about what your text. So thank you for doing
that. Thank you. Yes. We had Pete from Pensacola. I have 4 pygmy date palms that I planted a few years ago. They got hit hard during this last winter and all the fronds died. I trimmed all the dead fronds off and used some palm fertilizer. I can see some green at the base of the trunks. Will these eventually come back? Anything more I can do to help them?
Well, I think you've done it all. The only thing I don't think you mentioned was water. I know palm trees many times don't need the irrigation that other plants do, but since you've put that fertilizer on there, and by the way, if you are putting palm fertilizer on, be sure it is a fertilizer, one that is labeled for palms, or contains magnesium sulfate. Magnesium sulfate is what the industry calls a minor element that palm trees really like. Now, you need to have that nitrogen, phosphate, potash, all that stuff, the regular stuff that's in fertilizers, but that magnesium sulfate is important for palm trees. But I'm optimistic that some of these palms, like that pygmy day palm, is going to come back. Unfortunately, when you do your research on that, and we talked a lot about this in the cold weather, 20 degrees is sort of your cutoff point, where below 20, you really, really, some of your palms, not all, some are in jeopardy.
Okay.
And so keep that in mind, because it did get down to 19, so it just snuck under 20.
But just talking about the weather. We're so confused. On Sunday, it's supposed to be a low of 47, high of 70.
Right.
Why is it so cold in April?
Well, you know, we always have that Easter cold.
I know.
We're past that.
Come on now.
So it's going to be, but it'll warm up quickly.
It will. Well, we're going to be crying come August.
Nah, I'm not going to cry. I like it.
I love the heat too.
I can go to the beach and cool off.
I was just telling Mike I need to move a little bit farther south because I honestly don't like the cold at all. I'd rather just be warm.
Tammy, let me just say this. Please don't go anywhere.
Oh, okay? He's so sweet.
We want you here. Don't go anywhere.
Awesome. If you want to join the conversation, 437-1620.
Just a few notes about, we talked about weed killing earlier, about killing broadleaf weeds. And just a couple of hints about killing weeds. When you are spraying for the weeds, and we talked about what to use, be sure that the lawn has been well irrigated. You don't want it to be wet when you spray it, but if your lawn is suffering from a lack of water, from drought, if you will, your weed control is going to be very, very poor, and you could do some damage to your yard. So if you're going to do some weed killing, you may want to water a couple of times, a couple of days before that. Obviously, don't mow prior to application, because let's take dollarweed, for example. You want that dollarweed to be sitting there and get that weed killer on top of the surface of that dollarweed. If you mow it off, obviously you're not going to have any weed control on that. Don't let it rain for 24 hours after you spray your weed killer, because then obviously it washes it off the weeds. And just as an aside comment, if you're spraying fungicide, that's a 48 hours dry after you spray it. In Pensacola, I've had people ready with spraying their fungicide on their lawns for days and days, if not weeks, because looking ahead, you never could find 2 days of...
So it needs to be 2 full days?
2 full days.
Oh, yeah.
To be effective.
Good luck with that.
that's exactly right. Don't spray your weed killer on windy days. Because
so no wind and no rain here in Pensacola?
No rain. It's got to be perfect weather. Exactly. On windy days, because obviously it could drift to your good landscaping plants. And also, that's one reason I like to use a pump-up sprayer. It's got the wand on it, and you can really get down right on the weeds that you need to kill. Because one thing we do, Tammy, we talk about on the show a lot, is integrated pest management. Integrated pest management, in very simple terms, means only treat for weeds or disease in areas that are needed. If you have dollarweed in your front yard, or if you have insects in your backyard, you don't need the other front or backyard. You don't need to go spray. Only spray where it's needed. Fungicide, for example, I like to spray where the areas of fungus are evident. Then come off of that area maybe 3, 4, 5 feet. But don't spray the whole yard.
Right.
It just really isn't going to do you any good. And then you're going to have to, probably going to have to redo it again. But weed killers are not necessarily foolproof. That's the only problem.
Okay.
So you've got to go back and do all your cultural things, if you will. Mowing height, St. Augustine, 4 inches, centipede, 3, Zoysia, 2. You really need to mow it high, because sometimes if you mow it high, it'll literally shade out some of those weeds, and you'll have weed control without having to spray. You got to water. Of course, it's been so unpredictable here in Pensacola. about our rain. It rains, you don't need to water. But as we get into summer, into these warm temperatures that you and I are looking for, you'll probably need to water your lawn twice, maybe three times a week. And a lot of that depends on where you live. If you live up north of the county, you've got a little more clay in your soil, you may not have to water quite as much as if you're living in Gulf Breeze.
Okay.
Where it's nothing but sandy soil.
Right.
So you have to look at where you live and kind of how your grass is reacting, but you've got to irrigate the yard. We talk about liming your St. Augustine yard. First thing needs to be said is centipede grass does not need lime. You don't need to worry about it. Don't do it. It's just, it likes a lower pH, which our soil has in Pensacola. St. Augustine likes a higher pH, and to go from the low pH to the higher pH, you've got to sweeten the soil with dolomite lime. A lot of people do a soil test, which is a great idea. Mm-hmm. A Werner Turf over here has got a great soil test kit that you mail off and gives you so much information. But if you just don't want to fool with that, I'd say every 2 years on St. Augustine, maybe every three, put out dolomite lime at the rate of, it's about 40 pounds per every 1,000 or so square feet. So it takes a little bit more than you would think. But that's important to get that pH up, because if the pH is too low, then your fertilizer is not going to work as well. And you don't want to fertilize within 2 weeks of putting lime out, because chemically they tie each other up. So that's just a few hints there. And just remember, if you do all of those things right, if you mow it, if you water it, if you fertilize it, control your insects, control your fungus, many times you'll develop a dense turf, which will crowd out the weeds, and you may not have to spray for weeds at all.
Very nice.
So that's
that would be very beneficial.
Very beneficial. A lot of labor saving. Nobody, I don't know anybody, that likes to get out there and mix all those chemicals together and start spraying and all that. And nowadays, obviously, we all have masks at our house. I like to wear a mask whenever I spray.
Yeah, of course.
And long sleeve shirts, long pants, that type
of thing. Your skin and your airway.
That's safety glasses. It's just, you know, you look like an alien from Mars when you're out there spraying your yard. But I think it's a great safety factor insofar as dealing with those chemicals.
There's a lot of chemicals in that, and you don't know what can cause physical problems.
You just don't want to breathe them. You don't want to get them in your eyes. You just don't want that to happen. So you can avoid that by dressing correctly. So that's what you need to do.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel here on News Radio 92.3. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. We are going to take a quick break. If you'd like to join in, please do, 437-1620. Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I have Mike Wiggins with us with The Garden Line. Very popular hour. I love it. We have many of you texting in. We had a friend say, only spray weeds on great beach days.
Well, we need to stop right there. And to tell you what a professional you are, that you started off this segment playing the Beach Boys.
Right. There we go.
It just all fit in. Good job.
It was so planned.
Really? The last 2 minutes?
Absolutely.
Exactly. No, I love that comment. The time to spray is a good beach day, and that is true. Unless you want to spray on a beach day in August. You don't ever want to spray weeds in really hot weather. I say you get into the 80s, 85 plus for sure, put the weed killers on the shelf. It can act like a blowtorch.
Oh, no.
Exactly. And, you know, one other beach comment, we talked about this last week, but it stands repeating. A lot of people are having some problems with portions of their lawn, maybe not coming back as they want to, and they want to put some seed out, seed of a new yard or a seed, a portion of their yard. Centipede seed will work, but don't do it yet. And here's the rule of thumb. Maybe you remember, I think we may have said this last week. Whenever you're so comfortable putting on your bathing suit and going to jump in the Gulf of Mexico, that's the day you can start planting centipede seed.
Okay.
In other words, that turf has to be warm. You don't want to put it out in, right now, because the turf just isn't warm enough. What will happen is that seed will not germinate. until it gets warmer. That turf warms up. Then you've got all kind of ways for that seed to go away. The birds get it. The wind gets it. The rain washes it off. That seed can just disappear. And it's too expensive to have that happen. So I would wait till mid to late May before I put out any of my centipede.
You would jump in the Gulf in mid-May?
I would.
For me, would be August.
Hey, 80 degrees.
I was thinking he was about to say August, and he's like, May. Wait, what? Yeah,
80 degree water temperature is my low limit, and even that. Maybe a little higher.
Yeah, mine's more like 85, 90.
85, okay.
Well, he said May. I was like, wait, May? Still freezing for me.
Well, put it this way. Damn, don't go out and put your centipede seed out today, okay?
Just don't do it
when
today,
you get off
work
today, just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Exactly. Don't do it.
We had a friend message us, what would be a good species of grass to plant under a large oak tree that has minimal sun? There is some sun, but not a tremendous amount. I have tried St. Augustine, and it does not grow in the area with partial sun, but does well in the complete shade.
I would say you really don't have much of a choice.
Okay.
You really don't. If you have a shady area, it's an old rule of thumb. If you have 50% shade, you're going to have 50% grass.
Okay.
70-30, 80-20. Mm-hmm. But a large oak tree may give you 50 to 60% shade.
Right.
So your chances of growing a turf sodding under that oak tree, your chances of success are very, very poor. They really are. I would consider landscaping.
I was going to say, putting landscaping. I've seen that, like, around
it. Landscape,
put some
nice azaleas or hollies and that kind of stuff. Put some, impatiens, which really grow great in the shade. But I hate for you to just go to all that work of preparation, and that's generally most of the work in putting down sod. Then put down sod, and then have it a year from now have it just sort of disintegrate, just simply because it doesn't have sun. All turf grasses want full sun. Now, I do agree, just like we made the comment before, sometime if you had a small oak tree years ago and you sod it underneath that one, and the oak tree gradually grew and the grass became naturalized in that area, you might see, there's a tree that has St. Augustine underneath it. It does fine. But to have a mature oak tree trying to put sod underneath that, I think your chances are not good.
Okay. So landscape instead.
Landscape instead. And you can be very creative. Very creative.
I've seen it where they built up around it.
Right.
Like a bed around it.
There's a subdivision over off Bio Boulevard that has just all oaks all over a side yard. And all they've done is done these serpentine type lines around different sections of the oak trees and have nothing but pine straw in it.
That's what our friend just said. Pine straw it is. Thank you.
Absolutely. Pine straw it is. Now, the secret to making it look good is you've got to have a line of division between your pine straw and your good turf, because if not, it just looks messy. That pine straw will wash in there. You've got to keep that real line there where you push your sidewalk, kind of tuck that pine straw back under, and then have a definite line as you go around your pine straw bed. That makes it look really landscaped, and just doesn't look like it's messy and just pine straw is just going everywhere.
Right.
So I think, pine straw it is. That's not a bad choice.
You know, my other house, we had pines. What did we have? A mulch, and the rain kept washing it. So we did white rocks everywhere, and it was beautiful.
Well, that's true. That is true.
Like places where it was just the, weeds or things like that. And it just looked so nice with the landscape.
Right. In a small area, that's good. One problem with the rocks, two problems with the rocks. If you're like me, when I was raising my children, if they found a bed full of rocks,
let me tell you,
you might have an issue.
I cannot tell you how many times the neighborhood kids, I'm like, put the rock down.
Put the rock
down. Why do I have to keep telling you to put the rock down?
But the other problem is, if you've changed your mind,
that's
say,
a pain.
Okay, we've had this rock bed for 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. Let's do something different. It's so hard to get all those rocks out. So
it was just a lot less maintenance.
No question. It looks great. Yeah. It looks really good. But those two things may be something you may want to think about if you're going to landscape with rocks.
Absolutely. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I'm here with Mike Wiggins with The Garden Line. We have a couple minutes left when we get back from this break. If you have a question, 437-1620.
can buy me love.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'm your host, Tammy Martin. I am here with Mike Wiggins in the Garden Line. We've had many amazing questions. Thank you so much for texting in. We truly appreciate it. Did you enjoy the Beatles there?
I love the Beatles. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's just great. Can't buy me love. That's one of the best.
It's awesome. We had a friend text in. Are there any types of grass that will not die from dog urine? Yellow spots? Or the grass dies where the dog urinates?
That really is a great question, because it is a real problem with some folks. I think you're going to have more of a problem with that with zoysia grass, because it's a thin blade grass and you mow it much shorter. Maybe a little bit more or a little less of a problem in zoysia. A little more of a problem with centipede. St. Augustine, maybe not quite so much. But to answer the question, I really have no solution for that, because it can literally kill a spot of grass, and it's easy to diagnose. Mm-hmm. Usually people say, oh, I've got a fungus. No, you've got a dog.
You have an animal.
You have a dog. That's exactly right. So a great question. I wish I had an answer for it. Like I say, but if you're going to put in a new lawn ever, St. Augustine might be one that reacts a little less.
Maybe take the dog to the side of the house where nobody sees.
Exactly.
Like a certain spot every single time.
Absolutely. Very good.
Camouflage
very good suggestion.
It.
There you go. There you go. Okay, we're about to wrap this up.
Yes, sir.
We got to go. Just a couple of things I did want to mention. This is kind of silly, but I saw this the other day, and maybe we've mentioned this before on the show, but I'm going to mention it again. I'm driving down the road, and there's a pickup truck in front of me with these beautiful Dracaena tropical plants sitting up in his truck. I wanted to stop and say, don't do that.
Oh, no.
Don't drive in your truck with exposed plants, especially tropical plants. Because you get on the interstate and you're going 75 miles an hour.
Right.
That's a Category 5 hurricane.
You were just getting them prepared.
And plants don't like that.
So, he was preparing them.
just buy you a cheap tarp. Lay them down. They won't hurt them to lay them down. That's probably how they came anyway in the truck. Lay them down, cover them with a tarp, and you'll be much better off. Because it'll rip those leaves up.
Yeah, I would think.
If they're sitting up there and with a 70 miles an hour wind coming at them.
Absolutely.
So that's one of
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you, and it's always wonderful when our friends text us in and ask you questions. You're so knowledgeable.
No, it's so good to have you here.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job, and I look forward to next week.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. We have more to unpack here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We have a Fox News update followed by a local news update in our newsroom.